Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast. In the Old Testament, there's a history of the kings of Israel. And we have one version of that history through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. But then they tell it slightly different, highlighting different aspects of the history through 1 and 2 Chronicles. And in the book of 2 Chronicles, the second book of Chronicles, in chapter 33, it tells a story of one of the evil kings of Israel named Manasseh. This is what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations of the Lord that the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished, and he also put up altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshiped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. He practiced divination and witchcraft, sought omens, and consulted mediums and spiritists, and he did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. He took the image he made and put it in God's temple, of which God had said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not again make the feet of Israel leave the land I assigned to your ancestors, if only they will be careful to do everything I commanded them concerning all the laws, decrees, and regulations given through Moses." But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray. So they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner. They put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. They put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. Anybody here got a bronze hook in their nose? Yes? Was that fun? I don't know who said that. Yes? Is that a fun experience? It wasn't that bad. Okay. What if you got a bronze hook in your nose and then someone attached a chain to it and then led you around like that? Would that be equally as fun? No. Okay. That seems pretty horrible, does it not? Right? We're not talking about a decoration. We're not talking they brought him here, and so they gave him some piercings, and he got all set for the new region. No, they stuck a hook in his nose so they could lead him around. That's kind of horrible, isn't it? Manasseh's choices in his life led him to the place where somebody else was completely in control of his life. He was completely manipulated He didn't get to do what he wanted. He didn't get to have freedom. He didn't get to go where he wanted, eat what he wanted, talk to who he wanted. He didn't get to do anything that he wanted to do because of the choices he had made. It all led to him being led around with a hook in his nose. And sometimes for us, we feel kind of similar. Now, you may not feel like you have a hook in your nose and you're being tortured in that way, but you may feel like you are in this place in your life where somebody else is in control of your life. That you are a victim of your circumstances, or you are a victim of what other people are doing, or other people have all the power and all the control, and you are being led around and you just have to do or deal with what everybody else is doing. You don't feel like you're free. You don't feel like you are fulfilling anything. You don't feel like this life is really what you want. And all that is happening is somebody else is manipulating and controlling and directing you. This can come up in a number of different ways. It could be as simple as being stuck in a job that you hate. And you feel trapped there. And you have no way out, no way to change it, nothing you can do, no other options. You're just stuck. It may be simply the daily drudge of get up, take care of the kids, go to work, come home, take care of the kids, go to bed. Get up, take care of the kids, go to work. Come home, take care of the kids, go to bed. Over and over, and you feel in this cycle that has no outlet, no freedom, no joy. It may be a situation where your finances keep dropping and debt continues to increase, and you look at the bills and you look at the prices of things and you feel like there's no way to change it and that you're going to continue losing money, losing. It may be some sort of addiction in your life, whether it's drugs or alcohol or gambling or pornography or whatever. You may have this addiction in your life that feels like it is controlling you, and you've tried to stop. You don't want it. You feel like you could be spending your money on something else, or you want to have the freedom where you can go and do something else, or you want to be anxious, free around a situation, but it has you trapped and it has you stuck, and you are completely subject to whatever that addiction wants from you. It could be the matter of continuing to hurt yourself or hurt others. It could be being trapped in a sin that you repeat over and over. It could be how you continually ruin and sabotage your relationships. You could be in this place where there's no joy and no hope, and the depression has come in and there's no way out. It feels like there's no way out. It could be following your friends or trying to keep up with your neighbors. It could be how anxious and worried you feel. It could be this obsession that you need to control everything or you need to be perfect. All these things come into our lives and we make those decisions, or we end up in those situations, and those things manipulate and trap you and control you, and what you end up being is you end up being led around by all of these things like you've got a hook in your nose. Wherever those things want you to go, that's where you go. Manasseh gets taken away to captivity. And in 2 Chronicles 33, verse 12, it continues. The story continues. It says that in his distress, in Manasseh's distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. This isn't the only story in the Bible we have about somebody making a series of bad decisions or ending up in the situation where the circumstances and the people around them are manipulating them and things go bad. Jesus tells a story about a father and his two sons, and one of his sons say, "Hey, Dad, I wish I could have my inheritance now, even though you're still alive. I just kind of want everything you're going to give me when you die. I just like to have that now." And this son, he goes and he gets the inheritance and he goes off and he wastes all the money, all everything he has, and he ends up in this place of poverty where he's feeding pigs and he's eating the pig slop. And he decides, you know what, it's better for me to, instead of being in slavery here, it would be better for me to be a slave in my dad's house. So he goes home, and his dad looks at him and he says, "You waste of human flesh, you get out of here." No. He sees his son coming from a long way off and he says, "I'm so glad you're home." And he throws a party for him. And he sees his son, who is now in the place where he is willing to humble himself, and his life changes. And Jesus says something else. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, Jesus says this. He says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it." Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. If you feel like you are being led around by a hook in your nose, and you feel like you don't have your life isn't what you want it to be, you feel like somebody else is in control of your life, and you want to take your life back. You want to take your life back. You want to get your life back. What this tells me is that if you want to get your life back, the only way to do that is to give it to Jesus. The only way you get your life back is if you give it to Christ. The only way you get your life back is by giving it to Jesus. That's what he's saying. That's what these stories show us. It was when Manasseh finally humbled himself, surrendered himself to God, that he was then set free. It was only when the prodigal son finally said, "You know what? I don't have control. I don't have the power. I can't do this on my own. I need my dad's help." It's only then that he had the freedom of his father. And Jesus says that if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. The only way that you can take your life back is if you give it to me. And we have seen two stories today already of people who have made that decision that they wanted to take their life back. They didn't want their lives to be controlled and manipulated by everybody and everything else in their life. And they wanted real freedom and they wanted real joy and that fulfillment and that strength and that peace, and they wanted to take their lives back, and so they knew that the only way to get their life back was to give it to Christ. Now, the very first step of that is a decision. You need to make the choice of giving your life to Christ. But it's not just words. It's not just this idea and you say, "Yes, I want to give it to Jesus," and that you sign a paper and that's it. It's not just about being here and getting dunked in some water. It's not just a decision. A decision has to live out. It has to be how you live from here on out. But it starts with making that decision. Have you ever watched the show Hoarders? Some of you are here and you're thinking, every time I go in my mother-in-law's house. Those of you who are really brave are thinking, every time I go in my wife's room. But seriously, have you ever watched that show? There are some situations where it's like, yeah, they keep a few too many things, but there are some situations and some episodes of that show where you see the people and you see the squalor and the filth that they are living in because they can't let anything go. Interestingly, I was at my parents' house and we watched an episode of it. And in this episode, they went in to clean the house out and they determined that it was so filthy and so packed full of stuff that it was not safe for anyone to be in there without, like, containment gear. And they dug through the stuff and they ended up finding dead cats buried in the stuff. And she wasn't upset about the stuff or about the cats. She was upset that somebody was in there getting rid of her stuff. And sometimes we need to look at our lives in the same way, and we think of all these things we need to hold on to, all these things that, well, that's my stuff, that's my problem, those are my people, that's all my money, that's my way, and we hold on to my, it's all mine, and we're like hoarders, and we hoard it all into our house, and we don't even realize that we're burying dead cats in our lives, and we're dealing, and we're living in a place that is actually poisoning us and destroying our lives. And the only way to get out of that is to give it up, to give it away, to give it to Christ, and then He can go in, He can clean things up, and He can actually make your house, make your life the way it was meant to be, the way that actually gives you healthy relationships, healthy finances, healthy bodies, healthy minds, a healthy family, peace and joy that passes all understanding. But the only way you get that life is by giving it to Christ. So what does that look like? Well, first, it's making that decision, saying, yeah, my life is a mess. Everything else in my life controls me, and I want to take my life back. You got to decide that you're going to surrender it. You're going to give it to Jesus. And then He's going to start calling you to steps, the steps that you need to take. For some of you, it's about looking at your past and just admitting the sins of your past and confessing it, admitting it to Christ, maybe admitting it to the people around you. And I know you're terrified of how they're going to react and what people are going to say and what people are going to do when they find out of what you did, but it is that incredible step that gets rid of the junk in your life. And there are going to be moments where there is sin and there is addiction in your life, and He says it's time to get rid of that, and by His power, He'll give you the steps and gives you the power you need to say no to that sin, and you need to start living without that sin. For others of you, it's a matter of putting your own plans and your own ideas and your own desires aside for a minute. It's about putting your plans aside and saying, God, what is it that you want me to have? What is it that you want to give me? What is it that you have for me? It's about putting your control aside and your perfectionism aside and letting Him be in charge instead of all these other things and trying to control it yourself. And you've got to let Him make those decisions. You've got to let Him make the decision about where you're going to work and what you're going to do and how you're going to use your money and what your attitude is going to be and what are your rights, what are your expectations, what is your purpose. You're going to let Him have control of your kids and your family. You got to turn to Him to fill your physical needs, to fill your emotions, to take care of your family. And you got to say, it's up to you. You do what you want. And it doesn't seem to make sense because it's like, well, how am I getting my life back if I'm giving it to Jesus and now He gets to control me? It's because when you have tried to control your life, you have lost it. And God is such a good God that when we surrender our lives to Him, the life He gives us isn't what we planned, isn't what we designed. It's way better. A couple nights ago, one of my kids was, he was tired, but he got in his mind that his little sister did something, he wanted to do it, and he just got into a rage. And he started saying things that didn't make sense and saying things that were just awful. And so we tried different things to snap him out of it. We were like, listen, if you don't cut this out, we're going to take some toys away. And so we'd bring out a toy that we knew he cared a lot about. He'd look at it and he'd be all upset. Not that. And then he would switch and he'd go, I don't want that. So we'd go get the next thing. He'd be all upset. Not that. And then he would determine, no, I am not going to submit here. And he would switch and he goes, fine, you take that. I don't want that. And it seemed like everything we tried, he had simply made up his mind that he was not going to surrender his way. And he was willing to lose everything else so that he could hold on to his way, his decision. It took me probably half an hour, 45 minutes to snap him out of that and get him to a different place where he was actually willing to go, I'm sorry, Dad. I shouldn't have done that. And I feel like some of us in this room are holding on to our wills like my little guy. And you're losing thing after thing after thing in your life that you care about and that you really actually want, but are not willing to admit it because of your stubborn pride. Don't let that keep you from the goodness of God. Don't let your stubborn pride keep you from what God has for you. The only way that you're going to get your life back is by giving it to Christ. And the more you fight that, the more you will find that you lose. The worship team's going to come up and they're going to do another song, maybe two. And I feel like this is a key moment for some of you in this room where you've been holding on to things and you've been holding on to your way and your desires like my little boy. And it's time to surrender. It's time to give it up. You're not surrendering to somebody that's malicious or who wants just to use you and take from you. God is a God who comes for us when we don't deserve it. He is a God who loves us so much that he was willing to take the first step to fight for us when we were still deep in sin. He is a God who wants to give us good things. But you've got to surrender. Don't miss out on what God has for you, on the life he has for you. You cannot save your own life. If you want to take your life back, the only way to do that is by giving it to Christ. Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.